What we think about God's representatives will change what we think about God. It might not seem fair, but that's just the way that it is. That's just human nature. Take, for example, pastors. Pastors are supposed to represent God to his people. And that's why Paul insists so strongly that a pastor should live in such a way that is above reproach, that no one can ever hold anything against him. Because all too often when a pastor sins, he hurts far more than just himself. We all know of too many cases, unfortunately, where a pastor did fall into sin, and many people had their faith shaken or even fell away from God entirely because of it. It might not seem fair, but that's just the way that it is. The same is also true for God's people. God wants us to live holy lives so that how we appear to the rest of the world will affect what they think of God. If we live in a holy way, then the world will also think of God as holy. But if we live in an unholy way, God's reputation will be hurt because of it. In fact, in the Old Testament, God condemned his people for their unholiness, for dragging his name through the mud. And he said that he would restore them again, not for their own sake, but for the sake of his holy name. That's just how it is. I only point this out, Christians, to show that it's also true that what we think about the angels will also affect what we think about God, because they are also God's representatives. So we should ask ourselves a question. What do we think about the angels? And maybe just to see for my own sake, I went to the internet and typed angel into Google just to see what would pop up. And honestly, I wasn't all that surprised by what I found. Most angels appeared in one of two ways. On the one hand, a lot of angels were depicted as being like very beautiful women. Long flowing hair, beautiful white dresses, majestic white wings. It was all very pretty. And on the other hand, you would sometimes see pictures of angels like babies, little fat babies with wings. It's all very cute. And maybe we even have this kind of artwork in our homes, which is fine. It's just art. That's just the way it is. But ask yourself this question, Christians. If this is what we think about angels, what does that make us think about God? If an angel in our minds is like a mother watching over her children, watching them as they gently sleep, or watching over them from a distance as they play in the yard, is that going to make us think of God in the same way? God as a kind of mother figure watching over us. Or if we think of angels as being like little fat babies, not very threatening, but cute, are we going to think of God in the same way? Not very threatening, but cute. How we think of angels is going to affect what we think of God. And if we never think of angels as being threatening or terrifying or fearful, will we ever think of God in the same way? That's just the way it is, even if we don't mean to do it. But consider what the Bible has to tell us about the angels. Let's look especially at our Old Testament reading. Ezekiel, in this passage, is describing what are called the cherubim. They are the angels who stand the closest to God. They are the guardians of his throne. We also see these angels in the book of Revelation, where they are called the four living creatures. But the angels that he describes here are not beautiful women. And they're certainly not fat, cute babies. Because notice, first of all, how often and how carefully Ezekiel says things like the likeness of, or something like, or as it were. Verse 5, for example, says this, "And from the midst of it came the likeness of four living creatures, and this was their appearance. They had a human likeness. So Ezekiel is not saying that they were four living creatures. He says that they look something like four living creatures. And he's not saying that they had a human appearance. He's saying they had something like a human appearance. In other words, Ezekiel is really struggling to describe what he sees here. He can only compare it to other things and say that it's something like this. I mean, we can imagine what this would be like if we were to try to describe a color just by words and without looking at it. Can you imagine how difficult that would be, just to say something like the color red? How would you describe the color red without looking at it? That's what Ezekiel's trying to do, to struggle to describe what he sees. And if he's struggling to describe what he sees, I'm certainly not going to be able to describe it clearly either. But I will point out a few things that he does say. He says that these angels have four faces, one like a man, one like an eagle, one like an ox, and one like a lion, which incidentally you see up here on the altar and the four symbols upon it. And these living creatures also have four wings. When was the last time you ever saw a picture of an angel with four wings? And he also describes them as having legs like a calf and having the appearance of bronze and of fire. And I'm not even going to begin to try to explain the wheels that went along with them. The wheel within a wheel with eyes all the way around it. It defies our ability to understand it. It's completely beyond our experience. And God himself stands above all of it. Ezekiel struggles to understand even more what he saw above them. But with such a vision before him, Christians, is it any wonder that Ezekiel fell on his face, completely overwhelmed by the sight of the vision on that day? He was fearful and afraid of what he saw. And is it any wonder that whenever angels appear in the Bible, they almost always have to say, first of all, do not be afraid. Let's take another example. Isaiah chapter 6 describes what are called the seraphim. Isaiah says, above him stood the seraphim. Each had six wings. With two he covered his face, and with two he covered his feet, and with two he flew. When was the last time you saw a picture of an angel with six wings? And you have to remember, Christians, that the word seraph in Hebrew means fire. These are literally the fiery ones. So you can imagine something looking kind of like a human with a fiery appearance with six wings, completely beyond our experience. And these fiery messengers stand in the presence of God, always calling out and saying, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." Now, of course, it is true. Angels do sometimes appear like people. Daniel sees one that he describes in this way. I lifted up my eyes and looked, and behold, a man clothed in linen, with a belt of fine gold from Uphaz around his waist. But even then, as he's describing this angel, he will go on to use terms like fire and lightning. My point with all of this, Christians, is that the picture that the Bible gives us of the angels is terrifying. They're so completely beyond us. We can only really talk about them in indirect ways, saying things that they are like fire or that they have something like wings. They're just so completely different that we can't even really begin to understand them. And these creatures are also described as being immensely powerful. I mean, God sends the angels all throughout the scriptures to carry out his judgments. In the Old Testament, we meet a single angel who destroys thousands of men all in one night. all by itself. And in the book of Revelation, we are told of angels released to kill a third of mankind. These creatures are far above us. We can't really understand them. They are powerful and they are terrifying. This is the biblical picture of the angels of God. And when we think of angels in this way, Christians, do you see how it changes how we think about God? Because if these are his messengers, if these are his representatives, then what must God himself be like? Notice how Ezekiel describes the Lord in the same chapter. Verse 27, he says, "And upward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, gleaming metal, like the appearance of fire enclosed all around. And downward from what had the appearance of his waist, I saw, as it were, the appearance of fire, and there was brightness around him." So he saw something sort of like fire, or something kind of like, in a way, gleaming metal. He's really struggling to explain what it is that he sees. And Isaiah, in Isaiah chapter 6, sees only what he describes as the hem of God's robe, the very bottom of his robe, and it causes him to fall on his face in fear. Because God is Almighty God. He is the one who has created all things. He is the living God besides whom there is no other. There is none like him. There is none that can be compared to him. He is the one who spoke the world into existence. He is the one who upholds all things simply by his will. And if the angels themselves, these mighty, terrifying creatures, hide their faces from the vision of God, what must God be like? If these angels, these powerful messengers, fear to look at God directly, why should we not also be afraid? But this God, Christians, this Lord of hosts, who commands the angelic armies, is also a faithful God. He is a God who keeps covenant forever, a God who never breaks his promises. And this God, far above all things, is a fortress and a refuge for those who trust in him. If this God is on our side, Christians, who can be against us? If this God fights for us, why should we be afraid? Is anything too hard for the Lord? And God sends the mighty angels, those terrifying, powerful creatures, to guard you and to protect you. They're on your side. Consider what Psalm 91 says. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. On their hands they will bear you up, lest you strike your foot against a stone. So there is no reason to fear, Christians. Those who are for us are far more than those who are against us. There is no reason to worry about what may come. God is God, and there is no other. And he is the Lord of hosts who sends his angels to watch over you. So do not be afraid. Let us pray. Holy and almighty God, who commands the angels to guard those who trust in you, lead us always to turn to you and to trust in your mighty name, because you are our refuge and our fortress, our rock and our salvation. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.